Last week, we started a series called What the World Needs Now, and took you guys back down memory lane to a pretty popular song that some of you wanted me to sing. I'm not going to sing it, but we're covering four topics during this month that are just big picture things that the world knows about, is aware of, that are problems and whatnot, and has provided answers for. But we also believe as Christians that we should look at what Jesus says. And it's not even necessary that world solutions are bad all the time. It's just there are things that we as believers and unbelievers see from different points of view. And so we're looking at things like last week was trust in God, as well as trust in man, and how those things kind of coincide. Today is about vices. Next week we're going to be talking about human rights. And then we're going to end this series with biblical authority, which is going to be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to that. The world, like I said, gives us so many opinions, so many ideas. If you watch the news, if you have a smartphone, if you know somebody who has a smartphone, if you're on your smartphone right now, no, I'm kidding, you know that there are ideas out there. But Jesus is the one that we always turn to as believers. And so last week was, Jesus knows what troubles our hearts. All of us have something in our lives. It troubles our hearts, and that he is the only one that gives us real peace, because that's what we long for. That's really what we're longing for. And so he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, and he's the one who provides us with peace. There's a lot happening around us, and I would imagine there's a lot happening to you. And so what does Jesus say about these things? We're going to dive deeper into that, and I want to keep that conversation going. So would you just join me in prayer as we just invite God to speak to us? Lord, your word is alive, it's active, it's unchanging, and that is such a blessing, and that's so important for us to know. And I pray that this morning we would recognize that you're here with us. You're present, and you want to speak to us. And I know that we all have minds that are filled with things. Maybe we're thinking about what we got to do later. Maybe we're thinking about what's ahead this week. Maybe there's something that happened this weekend or is going on in our lives. There are so much happening that can fill our minds. And my prayer is that during this time, you would just kind of clear some space so that we can hear from you. You're ready to speak to us. So help us to be ready to hear from you. I pray that as we look at what Scripture says here and the importance of how you talk about the things that are vices in our lives, would you just kind of level the playing field and help us all know that we're in this together, that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We all are sinners and we all need you. And so we give you this next 30, 35 minutes and just ask that you would speak to us in your name. Amen. I almost said give us this next hour, hour and a half, but joking in a prayer, I don't know, maybe not the best thing. So, hey, in a couple months, New Year's resolutions will be around the corner. Anybody ever made a New Year's resolution and made it longer than 8 days? Anybody? Raise your hand proudly, because if you have, that's above the average. The average person only makes it 8 to 10 days on their resolutions. It's not very long. Now, depending on what, now, I personally, I would love to start a resolution of like, it's the opposite. Like, we're not worried about health. We're not worried. It's like, oh, no, I'm making a resolution. I'm going to eat some more Skittles. You know, or Reese's peanut butter cups. Let's have some more of those. But with that, and that's all beside the point, I wanted to share this morning because this is important to kind of set the table for what we're talking about. Top 10 things that in 2020 Americans were trying to quit. Now, this is my thing right now. I'm starting right now because it's been pointed out to me by a few people that I care for deeply. Apparently, my hands go in and out of my pockets about 1,000 times during a message. So my resolution is we're going to just cut that back. We're going to cut it down to 500 this morning. So we're taking baby steps. Top 10 things Dustin's trying to quit. Hands in pockets. Here we go. Here's the most common. And starting with, this would be number one. And we'll work our way to 10. Number one is alcohol, tobacco, pornography, biting nails. It's number four. Cannabis, sugar, caffeine, really? Come on. Gambling, junk food, I just mentioned all that. Social media is number 10. So those are the most common things that Americans are trying to quit pretty much every year. That list does not change a whole lot, especially with the big three. And some of those are, in reality, they're more serious than others. They are. Junk food is important because it's your health, but it's not as serious as some other ones. And these things may not even relate to you. Some of them might not. But I want to put in perspective, here's the economic side of this. Here's how this is affecting us, these vices that we have. Smoking is a $300 billion industry. $300 billion were spent in 2022 on smoking. That comes out to roughly $1,686 per year. This is a healthy amount of money, and obviously that can go up and down depending on the person. Excessive drinking costs taxpayers, so this is all of us, $249 billion in lost productivity, healthcare costs, and legal fees because of the effects of what these things are doing. Gambling is a $60.5 billion industry, which I thought was interesting. I thought that would be higher. Here's one that maybe you've experienced. You ever heard of retail therapy? So don't look at the person next to you. Stop it. It's impulse shopping, right? $183 per month, specifically on like impulse shopping. We're not talking about the things you really need. This is like when you feel bad or something has happened. You're like, well, and next thing you know, you're buying stuff. Interesting enough, that alone is costing about $2,196 per year per person who struggles with it or faces it. Fast food. 36% of Americans eat fast food on any given day. Any given day. Soda. This will just really make you feel good about yourself. Pepsi in 2022 reported an $86 billion revenue. Coke was $43 billion. Dr. Pepper, $14.75 billion. So a lot of money going to soda. So there's your caffeine. And speaking of caffeine, when it comes to coffee, Starbucks, interestingly enough, reported $32.25 billion revenue in 2022. So if that's something you're addicted to, you're spending anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 per year just on your cups of coffee. Glory to God. Now, it's okay to poke fun at some of those things, right? But the reach of addiction and common vices, because we're gonna kind of differentiate a little bit here. Addiction and common vices around the globe, when we start to really unpack it, it's no laughing matter. When we get into the serious stuff, tobacco and nicotine has accounted for 1.3 billion deaths annually. Causes lung cancer in 90% of men and 70% of women. Alcohol abuse is linked to 60 types of diseases, including cancers and epilepsy. Illegal and prescription drugs. You know, the UN estimated that 185 million people worldwide were consuming illegal drugs in the 90s. That number is astronomically higher now. According to the National Center for Drug Abuse, as of 2020, this is heartbreaking. Half of people 12 and older, so that's about 138.5 million, they've used illicit drugs at least once. 700,000 drug overdose deaths in the U.S. since 2000, 70%, that would be about 70,000 annually. All while the federal budget for drug control in 2020 was $35 billion. We are very aware here in the Pacific Northwest of the danger and destruction of fentanyl, which is a synthetic opioid. Basically, it's lab-made. And it's a factor in 53% of overdose deaths, which is 42,700. It's the most toxic, what is called recreational drug. 0.007% of an ounce is considered lethal. So 2 milligrams. So those are kind of like the big three, right? You've got nicotine, you've got alcohol abuse, you've got drug abuse. These are the things we hear about in the news. These are the things that you see depending on where you go. This is maybe stuff that you have encountered with friends and loved ones, maybe yourself. And the vast majority of people, they would hear what I just said, and they would say, yeah, that's a problem. We absolutely, this is a major issue. I mean, you hear about it all the time. This something needs to be done about this. And we're not here to talk about that. We know there are addictions and there are vices out there that you just don't entertain. But what about the other things that we don't necessarily think are that bad? Like, and I'm not saying these things on the surface, they're not bad, but social media, like Facebook itself, it's not bad. But you can get addicted, right? Just technology in general, like, man, we love to have our screens on, right? Anybody like, never mind, I'm not going to say it. I almost made a mistake there. I'm glad that my little inner voice just said, put the reverse brakes on real quick. But compulsive shopping, like these are things that are a problem. Emotional eating, all of us have something because all of us, here's the deal, every single one of us in this room, those that are watching online, we feel to some degree the pull of escapism. And if you're not sure what escapism is, it's the tendency to seek distraction and relief from unpleasant realities, especially by seeking or engaging in fantasy. Like we all, to some degree, are just like, man, I need to escape. Like life can be a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. Life can be beautiful. It can be great, especially when you're following Jesus. But that does not change the fact that life is also hard. It's hard. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is hard. Yeah. And I'm not saying like sitting here and listening to me. Hopefully that shouldn't be. Life is hard. And whether it's the billions who live around the globe or the handful that are at your dinner table, we so badly feel like, man, I just need a break. I just need a break. And so often we entertain these different vices with the mindset of like, I just need to unwind. I just need a break. Like, this helps me relax. This helps me cope. It's really not hurting anyone. And until God transforms us with something greater and leads us through that daily journey, because it's a daily journey. Sometimes it's an hourly journey. Sometimes it's minute by minute. Until those things happen, we continue to face this over and over and over again, don't we? In Scripture, in John 8, there's an encounter that Jesus has. And he's talking with the Jews about what it takes to be in right standing with God. And this is no surprise because we see this throughout Scripture. In fact, we oftentimes think the same way. Jesus is explaining one thing, and the people hearing him are not understanding or they're interpreting it a different way, and they don't necessarily agree with him. Anybody, like, disagreed with Jesus? I have, so I'm the only one in this building. Cool. That's great. You guys can all speak next week. So they're talking, he's sharing something with them. They believe that, yeah, well, it's our heritage. Like, that's what puts us in right standing with God. It's the fact that we have all of this history as Jews, and it's these people, and Moses, and it's, following the Old Testament law. Like, if we do these things, we're going to be good. And Jesus is basically there to say, well, not really. And he shares this in John 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, so these are those that are believing, he said, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and here's the kicker, and the truth will set you free. Now we have heard that scripture so many times. If you've walked through something serious that has been either an addiction or a vice, this is one of those scriptures that you repeat and you repeat and you repeat. The truth will set you free. The rest of this portion of scripture, it's a separate message in and of itself. But once again, here's what Jesus is teaching on. He's teaching on the importance of knowing him. And one of the byproducts of truly knowing Jesus is freedom. It's relief, real relief. Now, like I mentioned last week, and if you weren't with us, this is one of the things we talked about. All of us know that something isn't right in our lives. It's one of the factors here. All of us know, man, something's a little off. The happiest people in the world, still, there's something that there's inherently built into our soul. We know something is missing. And it's why really knowing God is so important. That truly knowing him leads to his truth. And that's what we talked about last week. And it's his truth, and only his truth, that gives us true freedom. Now, there are plenty of other things out there that can help you in that journey, but when it comes to absolute freedom, it's only found in Jesus. And the reason it's so important, and the reason why it's different than anything else, is this. Jesus does not offer you an escape. He offers freedom. He's not here to be like, hey, let me give you a 15-minute break. No, he wants to give you freedom. Jesus is not your break buddy. He's your chain breaker. John 8 continues, verse 34 and 36. Jesus replied and said, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Now, pause there. How many of you just wake up in the morning like, man, I just love being told I'm a slave of sin? Just so cool. Like, the sun is out. Birds are singing, my kids are happily doing homework in the bedrooms, and that's not my children. And you're just like, man, but I'm a slave of sin, glory to God. Nah, nobody, but here's what he says. He says, so if the sun sets you free, you are truly free. Sin is not, on one hand, it's not that complicated. Sin is missing the mark. It's an immoral act that transgresses against God. That's the simplest way that you can define that. In the context of what we're talking about, these vices that exist in our lives, they cause us to miss the mark. And even when you think you've got them under control, they almost always have you under control. And we don't like to admit it, but we're usually slaves to our vices, aren't we? Hence the name. It's a vice. It's got its grip on you. Like, one of my least favorite things that Apple has created is their little, like, Sunday mornings. They give you, like, here's your screen usage update. And I'm always like, I don't want to see this stupid thing. And I throw my phone, and then I have to buy a new phone. And it's a vicious cycle. But they tell you, like, if you were up or you were down in your screen usage. And these things are vices. Now, it's worth mentioning, I want you to understand this. Not all habits are bad. I would even argue that maybe not all vices are bad. You can use a different word there if you want, but not all of it is bad. You can have good habits. You should have good habits, but that's not what I'm talking about today. And it's also worth mentioning, when I'm talking about escapism, I'm also not telling you, so don't hear this, I'm not saying that you should never take a break in life, you should never go on vacation, right? You should never care for yourself. That's not what I'm saying. Those things are not necessarily bad. You need those things. We've talked a lot about rest. We've talked about spiritual rest. We've talked about Sabbath. These things are very important to us. What I am saying, though, is a long weekend, a vacation, a relaxing night, another drink, another drag, another click, it's not going to give you what only God can give you. Won't happen. You and I need freedom from the vices that pull us further and further from what only God can give. And I want to be clear here. Scripture tells us, and we believe all Scripture is true, nothing separates us from the love of God. But at the same time, we can make some decisions that make it a whole lot harder for us to encounter God. In the early 1500s, I should get these names figured out, but The Medici, whatever, you guys know what I'm talking about, maybe. Family, they operate as one of the most prominent political and banking families in the world. They were very wealthy and they were very powerful. Giovanni di Lorenzo was the son of Lorenzo, that's how their names worked. Lorenzo was the ruler of the Florentine Republic at that time. His family were patrons of the church, so they had some engagement in the church, but they also rubbed elbows with some pretty famous artists, Michelangelo, Raphael, Leonardo da Vinci, guys that we have heard, or maybe you've had the privilege of even seeing some of their work. Giovanni, he began serving the church at age 7. So he's a kid, he's serving in the church, he's involved in the church, he's doing things in the church. But given his family background, very cultured, very involved, he also loved a pretty lavish lifestyle growing up. So he got caught up in a few vices of his own. But by 1513, at the ripe old age of 38, Giovanni became Pope Leo, who at that time was the 217th pope. Now fast forward 7 years, and a little-known German priest and theologian that we now know very well, Martin Luther, he actually ended up dedicating a book to Pope Leo. And in it, Luther attached a letter to this, what was really a short pamphlet, and he praised Pope Leo's service to the poor, and he praised his godly reputation, that he was doing these good things. However, he also expressed some concern that with his great wealth and his great power, his family history, ultimately his vices, that maybe he was enslaved to those things without Christ. Now, just as a side note, if you ever get a letter like that, you would probably respond similarly. It was Pope Leo that excommunicated Luther and rejected the Protestant Reformation following Luther's 95 Theses. I tell you all of this because I think to a degree maybe we can relate there. Maybe you've looked for freedom in all the wrong places. Maybe there's something there that you've looked for that's really not where Jesus is. But I want you to also understand what Paul tells us in Romans 8:1 when he says, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. See, here's the leveling of the playing field. Not only have we all fallen short of the glory of God, not only have we all sinned, but guess what? There's no condemnation for any of us who belong to Christ Jesus. So here's the deal. These things don't have to be the end of your story. It doesn't have to be the final chapter. You don't have to be enslaved without Christ. When we cling to Christ, we're set free from our vices, our sin, and we are led into really like a new reality that changes how we can move forward. Because, like, let's be honest, the bad habits, the vices, they kind of keep us where we're at, don't they? You never really move forward. But Jesus' freedom leads us into some new things. And so I'm going to just take the next hour and a half to share these two things to you. Actually, I did not realize how not far along I am now, so you better have your DVR set. The freedom, here's the first thing. This is what Jesus leads us into. It's a freedom of a royal inheritance. We'll go back to John 8. Jesus replied, he said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. And he also shares this in verse 35. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. Now, it's an interesting scripture for what we're talking about. According to Old Testament law, here's the deal. Jewish slaves were only supposed to serve 6 years, and by year seven, they would go free. And we've shared a little bit about what this looks like. We interpret slavery in certain ways, and obviously how we view slavery is absolutely wrong. These things, at times, this kind of servanthood, well, slavery at that time looked maybe a little bit more like servanthood, and they would be doing it to pay off expenses, different things like that. But by year seven, they're set free. And so when Jesus is speaking of the son being part of the family forever, it's understood, and understandably so, Jews would have preferred membership by birth rather than obligation. They didn't want to be told that they had to do this. They would have preferred it by birth. Here's why this is important. Jesus has a place of he had a place of permanent royalty within his family. But what did he do? He left perfection. He came to earth to die for each of us, to take on our guilt, to take on our pride, to take on our vices, to take on our sin. And then after he overcame death, he provided a way for us to find freedom. He set the captives free. And now he shares his royal status with us. He provides the freedom of a royal inheritance as a replacement for the things that we entertain that we shouldn't. It's a freedom for those who've been held captive by their vices and addictions for even longer than can be imagined. Maybe you can relate to that. It's a freedom for all of us, whether we believe we deserve it or not. Maybe you can relate to that. Because here's the thing, what God says about you as his beloved child is more important than what any vice says about you. Because they will lie to you, they will lie to you, they will lie to you. But Jesus' truth will always speak above that. So that's the first thing. Second thing is this. This new reality of freedom in God, it provides us with the freedom to serve in love. It is not uncommon to convince yourself that you don't have anything to bring to the table because of who you are, what you've done, what you've seen, your family history, any number of things, what you're doing. It's not uncommon to feel like, man, I'm beyond fixing. I've done too much wrong. How could Jesus do this? How could he save me? How could he love me? We can convince ourselves by shame and regret that God can't use us or love us. I love what Ephesians 2, 1 through 6 tells us. And the Message puts it beautifully. I love this translation of it. It says, it wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. Yeah, I like how he says, it's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and he made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. And then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. See, before you follow Jesus, you do carry a sinful identity. And I know that does not sound nice. That doesn't sound pretty. That's not even popular to talk about anymore. But that's the reality. We carry that sinful identity. But thanks to God's grace and mercy, the opposite is made true. Not only are we adopted into his royal family, but we can and we should imitate the love of our Heavenly Father. And that does not mean that your vices will rear their ugly head at times. It doesn't mean that temptation just disappears. In fact, if you look in Scripture, Jesus was tempted, but he never acted on it. It doesn't mean you won't fall short. We all will. Later today, tomorrow, the next day, we all will. Depending on the outcome of certain football games, we may fall very short. We don't know. We can never truly be free of sin ultimately until Jesus returns. That's just how it works. But the good news, the great news, is he is with you as you walk this journey to freedom. Amen? He's with you. His spirit within will move our hearts. It'll shift our minds. It'll shift our desires from what we shouldn't do to what glorifies him and shows us who he is. I'll end with this and invite the worship team back up. Martin Luther, in the beginning of his letter to Pope Leo, what we talked about just a moment ago, he said a couple things. He said, a Christian is a Lord of all, completely free of everything. That was a lowercase Lord, for those of you that are wondering. And he also said, a Christian is a servant, completely attentive to the needs of all. Now take that for what it's worth, and be reminded that when we are set free, when we know that God, he's not just here to give you a break. He's not just here to say, yeah, no, you've had a hard life and you've done these things. You know, here's a couple days. He's not even here just to help you cope. When we realize that he's ultimately here to set us free, you know what it does? It puts us on mission for God's kingdom. Like, you find yourself so thankful and so inspired and so moved because it's all freely given to us. You get to that place and the Spirit leads us and we're on mission then. Just working for the kingdom of God. And it doesn't feel like work. Let me just end with this thought. If Jesus isn't offering an escape, you know what it means? It means it's long term. You know what else that means? It also means that it's not a quick fix. you can't undo in 30 minutes what you've spent years entertaining. Now, is God in the miracle business? Of course. Does his character and the way he interacts with us require patience, perseverance, and faith? Yes, yes, and yes. Like, we're saved in a moment, but we're refined over time, right? And so this morning, I believe that Jesus either wants to start something new in you or continue something he already started. So what will you choose? Will you choose that path? Or will you keep running back to the vices? Are you tired of being tired? Like, I don't know about you. Sometimes I'm just like, man, I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. I'll be honest, as your pastor, there's a lot of things I try to figure out on my own, and then I'm reminded, oh, yeah, Jesus can handle this. Do you crave the kind of freedom that comes from only knowing him? If you do, welcome. We all do. Why don't you bow your heads with me? Why don't you stand? And let's just pray. Lord, I'm thankful that you are good, and your mercies are new every morning. And I know that for some of us, we woke up this morning and we're thinking to ourselves, man, I don't know if there's mercy. I don't know if I can overcome these things. I don't know if I'm... We just keep saying those, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And I'm thankful that today, as we have gathered in your presence, you remind us that you are enough, that you are good. We sang those songs that you are here, you're moving in this place. And so as we respond in song, my prayer is that we would recognize that real freedom lies in you. And that freedom is a journey that you will walk beside us with. That you will hold our hand, you'll carry us, you'll stay there when we fall. Transform our minds to recognize that the things that we've entertained, whether they seem big or not, the vices that exist, that desire for us to just escape, that you have something more. You have something greater. And so as we sing this song, Lord, if we're in that place where we need freedom, I pray that you would lead us to that. Give us the courage once again to approach you, a God who is, there is no condemnation, who has arms wide open, and to just fall into them. We thank you, God, that you love us. Speak to us during this song in your name. Amen.